Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo. As parents, we know raising kids is the opposite of neat and tidy. Each day brings wins, losses, and valuable lessons. I pray that every time you're here, we will grow and learn, maybe even laugh and cry together in the midst of our beautiful mess.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, everybody, you're going to love today's episode. We've got Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Oh, yes, we do. On Pardon the Mess. And you probably already know who she is. Maybe you were a fan of Survivor or The View or Fox News. Elizabeth has been all over our screens and is now momming and wifing, if you will, in Nashville, Tennessee, and has her hands in many fun projects from writing to speaking and sharing content over on Instagram. And wherever she goes, I will tell you this, since we've been friends for about 10 years, she is just the real deal. I watch the way she loves on her community, or the friends in her life, all the things that you wonder about celebrities, like, are they real? Is this for a show? It's just not. It's who she is. She is amazing. She is authentic. She truly loves Jesus with all of her heart. And I think you'll be super encouraged by the discussion we have today. Towards the latter half of the interview, we talk about how to teach our kids to pray and how to teach them to have faith in God, even when they can't see Him working. So you'll love, she has a super practical book and idea on how to have that conversation with your kids. So enjoy today. I know you will. Here's Elizabeth. Welcome, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, to Pardon the Mess. How are you, my friend?
I'm so great. Better now that I see your face and we can talk and go voice to voice. I just love any conversation we have. So I'm really thankful and excited for this platform for you, just a glorifying one, and really just for so many people to hear your great questions. If you have not listened to Courtney, one of the first things you're going to learn about her is that she is an amazing, generous listener, and she has like all-star questions. So I love my word.
Actually, before I clicked on this, I'm like, Elizabeth trained under Barbara Walters for 10 years at ABC, and I'm going to try to ask you questions. So this is a little daunting.
No, but let's just chat. You're like right there with her, girl. I'm not kidding.
You know what came up this morning with—
I'm not going to lie on a podcast. Certainly not this one.
You know what came up this morning with my best friend, Katie from Atlanta? She said, Court, remember her firework shorts on The View? I'm like, yes, I do. Your last episode you had on firework shorts when ABC scripture cards were on there. And she went out and promptly bought them.
They glow.
I don't know if they zip, but they're so cute.
They glow in the dark. If you leave them out in the sun during the day, when nighttime comes, they will glow.
Do you still have them? Do you wear them?
Yes, every 4th of July. Those are my 4th of July shorts. Like, that's just what it's going to be. Like, grandma's going to wear the 4th of July shorts. Mimi, whatever my name is going to be, I don't know, down the road, 10, 25, 30 years, I will be 100 years old in my firework glow-in-the-dark shorts, and that's just what it is. That's what I wear.
I love it. I love it. That is how we met. You have been, you're like the sweetest encourager, supporter of women across the board. Often behind the scenes and doing the right thing for your own neighbor, but you have been such a cheerleader for me, and you bought scripture cards personally. I thought it was a spam mail. I'm like, Ron, I got an order from Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Jokes, you know, and then it was actually you, and then I freaked out.
I love the scripture cards. They're amazing. They've been in our kitchen ever since, and I think, you know, it's such a, you really have a great way of just reaching so many people in a way that's doable. I think one of the greatest things that all of your listeners will glean over time too, is that you have this like practical way of just applying, walking and following Jesus, like right in your own home, and you just make it easy.
You're so sweet. Okay. We jumped ahead of your, people know who you are, but for those three people that may not know you, tell us where you are. And probably people know you, but don't know where you are now. You've kind of been under the radar a little here and there. So tell us about where you are professionally and personally in your life, ages of kids, all that.
Okay. So Tim and I last year celebrated our 20th anniversary. So we're 21 this year. He's just the love of my life, best friend, leader in faith. And this year we've actually gotten to walk through a Bible study together. And it's just been awesome with other couples. I'd highly recommend that. It took carving out. It took saying a no in some areas and making room for that to happen. And it's been really beneficial to just be in the same word at the same time with the same group over a season. So we're super grateful for that. It's just been God's, it felt like his favor during this season. And so we do that. And then let's see, we've got Grace, who's 18. Taylor is 15 and Isaiah is 13. No. And they're super fun. They are our best friends. We love time with them. I still lay down the law, but like we enjoy their company. You know, we really enjoy their company. 17, I will say, no one talks about the year 17. Grace is 18 now, grown up. Amazing, confident girl who knows where her strength comes from in the Lord. But 17 is an interesting year because you are primarily interviewing to be their consultant and they might not hire you.
Ron and I were talking about this the other day that no one mentioned 16 to us either. Like, you know, they get a car, but all of a sudden they're like, well, where they went. They're just gone.
They're on the road.
Is scary, but it's also just far less time. I think in my mind, I had 18. It's like, well, I've got over 18 years, but I mean, this time I'm around Ella is significantly lower since she's driving. And I am struggling with this teaching. I love the teaching years. I think that I have lots of insights to share. And you're right. We're moving into more of a coaching, guiding, consulting. And I have had trouble with that and had to go back and say, you know what? I overinserted myself. You didn't even ask my opinion. And I just gave you a lecture. And yeah. So you're dead on and we're feeling it too, but you're doing a great job. Those kiddos are so cute. And
do you miss, time in the car? So I miss their friends. Once they start driving, I really miss their friends because they're usually with you. They're like your companions too. And all of a sudden you lose all your companions in one day. So I do think it's important to try to seek and create environments too in your home or just go to their friends' games or show up for things and family dinners with their friends just to recreate that like car time in another way, because you don't really have that anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a practical question about your home. So I was watching your husband on TV the other day. I love when I flip on my TV and I'm like, ah, there's Tim. Yeah. So is he still recording in your house? There's like a dog, teenagers, you baking and him recording, or is he going into studio?
Oh, he's both. So if he calls a game, he's at the game many times. I'd say that's probably split. He's at the studio at ESPN. You know, that telestration's fun. He loves the dynamic of doing that. And then oftentimes he's here. If it's like a quick hit or there's breaking news or if it's SportsCenter, he'll do full day here, which is hilarious because number one, well, he probably thinks this about me now. Like when he does his shows, I'll just be in the kitchen like making something and then like, boom, his voice is like TV loud. I'm like, whoa. And here's the fun part is I know his analytics. I can understand what he's talking about 4 seconds before everybody else. I'm like, I knew that first. Like I heard it before. Once in a while, a video outside of his office and studio. Cause I'm like, oh, that's loud.
Who was he on with the other day? You shared it on his story, but they were comparing like the prizes behind him and he brought out the sledgehammer. That was hilarious.
It was Teddy Bruschi. Yeah, they're amazing. First of all, I've worked with Teddy. Tim and I did a job swap one time where he sat at the table of The View and I worked with Teddy at ESPN. And that was hilarious. That was one of
the Tim go running back to ESPN? He's like, nope.
He did. He's like, wow, that's hard. Not doing that again. And please, I was like, please, can I stay at ESPN? It's so much fun here. It's so fun. Goodness.
Hey, Elizabeth, you write about this in Point of View, but I imagine this has been quite the transition from New York and working at The View to being home and doing projects, but home for the most part with your kids. How has that been? Has it been amazing? Has it been unique? How does that feel? I know it's been a little bit of time, but I think that's two drastically different environments.
Yeah, it definitely is. But I love drastically different environments. This is what I've assessed over time. I've always worked and it's always looked different. So I had my season. As soon as I could work, I worked. I got my job whenever I could drive. I was like, I'm working at Bob's Stores. CVS was cashier. I love to work. I love making a paycheck. I love being able to like connect and always found purpose in whatever I was doing. And before that, I would try to pick up any odd jobs that I could. I do love the fact that, you know, I've gotten to work in shoe design. So all my jobs have been really different. And quite frankly, I've been wildly underqualified for all of them and learned them all on site. So for to anybody out there who's thinking like, well, I could never, you can. I worked at Puma. I had been an art major. I was like painting, I don't know, apples or something before that. They hired me and there I was making shoes that could hurt people. But I learned so much about industrial design. I had an amazing internship at Reebok. Tim's dad actually said, what are you going to do with your life? Painting. He knew. I didn't know it at the time, but he's this incredible artist. And what he knew was it's not easy to paint and pay your rent. So he was saying it out of a place of love. So I ended up doing that, working at Puma then, designing shoes and footwear and some, I think I designed like a glove for Ricky Williams and Serena Williams tennis gear. And it was amazing and fun. And it was a great application of what I had been sort of learning in school and then got to focus in. And it was a great job. And then I bounced into television through E! Networks and The View. And that was 10 years of something I'd never done before. I mean, I was used to literally behind the scenes, like me, nerdy markers, like, and it was so fun. Like, I love both the same. Like and then I thought, well, when The View didn't renew my contract, that was a hard day. I mean, I call it fired. I guess in the work world, it's they didn't choose to renew your contract for next round, which feels like regardless, it's rejection, right? So I thought, well, why? And who else would want to do this every day? This is hard. I really like it. I like hard things. Between footwear and The View, there was Survivor. So we'll count that as a job, but it was great training for The View. I mean, they were like, hey, God was like, you're going to end up at The View for 10 years. We're going to stick you in the middle of the Australian outback without food, snacks, and 9 out of 10 deadliest snakes. And that'll get you ready for the table of The View.
Or parenting.
No, everything is easy compared to The View. They're like, do you think teenagers are hard? I'm like, I worked at The View. Like, nothing's, This is easy. So divinely, it was a divine rescue when they didn't renew my contract. And I headed over probably with a little bit of pride to ask Fox if they needed anybody at the time. Yes. I might be available, I said. And really had a great positive work environment there next to Steve Ducey and Brian Kilmeade and bringing in on Fox and Friends, some really hard years of news. And for me, if anyone knows me, I'm pretty messy in general. You know this, you've seen my desk. And but also I'm not totally a morning person. And I took a genetic test and it actually said my natural wake up time is 7:40 a.m. So there.
What?
Even.
I was already like 11:10 a.m. is when you're at your best.
So it was so bad. But 2:30 a.m. wake up time and an hour. 2:30. Mm-hmm. That was what, because I lived in Connecticut and worked in New York City.
Oh, no.
So when I thought I'd
still. How old are the kids when you're getting up at 2:30? So did you even sleep?
No. I mean, Tim would say you need to give up on the day. It was such a highly researched position. So you had to do a ton of research and there was such autonomy. So you had to know the news story. There was no teleprompter giving you what to say. You'd have your intro, but then you were charged with delivering the news as it was delivered to you. So the responsibility is great. And you wanted to know it enough to just talk about it in conversation. So I would just stay up and study. I love school. I love studying. And I like doing a good job for those around me. So that was a lot. And I just never got enough rest to do the job well. I think if I had just committed to rest and surrendering that, God, you have me in this. I need to rest. Then I would have been able to not feel that burnout period that I definitely hit hard. Because you start making mistakes. Like when you're tired, you're just making mistakes. You're not leaving room for the Holy Spirit. You're just kind of in this like survival mode, super far from thriving is surviving. I know that for a fact. And so you're not in a place where you're having enough buffer or margin for the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you and be fully activated. So we hit a point where it just wasn't sustainable. And truthfully for me, because of that, the afternoons I was in a fog. I slowly was becoming kind of a shadow of myself. I was home, but I wasn't present. You know, I started to lose like the desire to even engage with the kids when I was home because I was that exhausted and fatigued. So I wasn't seeing them in the morning. I was briefing everyone on world news and I was getting briefed on my kids in the afternoons. And for me, it just felt like it wasn't right for me at that time. So leaving work there, and listen, after someone tells you they're not renewing your contract, so that was at The View, to leave your next job feels weird. I will say I'm not a quitter. Right. Like I like to stay in it, but my body was shutting down on me. Right. And I just knew God was asking me to come out of that season. And it wasn't an easy exit for me personally, but they were kind and they knew. And we moved to Nashville, pulled up all anchors, came here, and work looks a little different. It looks like speeches and writing, what now, 3 books since.
Yeah.
And looks a little bit different with some pop-ins here and there. I do like to kind of go back and bother the view table once in a while, see if they're still able to.
I always pray so much for you. I'm like, she's going back. Oh, my word. This is intense. You're brave.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Alyssa, no, one of the things I've always loved about you is you have this insanely creative brain that fires on both sides. You've got right and left. Mm-hmm. You've got this massive heart for Jesus. And so when you say yes to a project, you don't say yes a lot. And so when you've said yes to writing projects, it's because you've baked it, you've believed in it, you've lived it out with your family. And so I want to start with Fleshlight Night, and I want to pull up this page at the end that pretty much made me tear up this morning. But, and then I want you to talk us through like how that came about. But in here you say, it's a children's book, and you say, mom says, sometimes we see God's yes and other times we don't, but just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it won't. Even when it's dark and dim and when we cannot see, let's choose to place our trust in God. He's close to you and me.
Yeah.
First of all, it rhymes. Second of all, it's who you are and it's how you've raised your family. And so that faith that we've heard on The View and everywhere else is so deep in you. You love Jesus so much. And so I thank you for that book. I do not have little kids, but we have read it and I've needed it myself. So
I needed it.
Tell us about, I've seen the Fleshlight Night wall in your home. It's a real thing. So tell us kind of that beginning and what you're hoping it's doing with families.
I wish I could bring you up there right now. I don't know if that's podcast
friendly. We'll post some pictures. I think you have some pictures.
Yeah, we've got some great pictures. It's, you know, that came at a season. I was just really a little girl by the name of Caroline. When we moved here, the first time I met her, she said, come with me and see this wall that we have in our house. And she brought me to their wall, and it was a whiteboard wall. And I thought, wow, how brave of you all to really declare your prayers out loud. And so I saw her wall and I was like, wow, that's an amazing thing to do. I wonder if we could do that in our new home here in Nashville. We were walking through a season where there were some big prayers going on, particularly over a little boy that we loved that was battling cancer, a neuroblastoma, and we had just fallen in love with him. And I had asked the kids to pray big things. And, you know, War Room had come out, and just like there was this sort of movement of like people having a place to declare their prayers out, right? So I always need a little extra credit, super visual. And so I thought, we need a wall. And I was like, hey, Tim, you think we can paint a wall? And he sort of just like waited. And then when he went out of town to ESPN, I like got chalk paint and painted the wall upstairs and just had that done. And then what I really needed to do was, we're writing them there, but I needed a way to, because I could see we were going to be faced with the potential of having the very prayers that our kids were begging God for not coming true and not coming out. And I think I had this fear. I get emotional thinking about it. Like, will they lose faith? Will I lose heart when they are asking for a good thing? It's not like they're asking for a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's not like they're asking.
Can I get $1 million and a new truck?
No,
it's like, save my friend's life.
Right. Which is good. And their hearts are good. And so they're at these tender ages where I thought, how am I? And am I going to lose heart, Lord? Like, am I going to walk through this and not see an answer for this very good thing that we want on behalf of someone else? it's good. You're going to do the thing, right? And the reality is we're not going to see it all right until the day, until we're in heaven. And so I needed a way to express that we're going to trust no matter what. And I prayed about it so hard. And then I thought, we are going to write all our prayers and then we're going to come back another time and we are going to, and I waited and I waited and our prayer was not answered in that case, but it was in others. We wrote a lot of prayers on the wall. The first time we flooded the wall with prayers and you kind of see everybody's personality. Like some, a couple more hesitant, Tim's more introverted. So he's like, is anybody going to see this? You know, I like to always push him. But it was really beautiful. And when we came back, I remember making cookies and giving everyone a flashlight and saying, this, we're going to declare in the dark. We're going to shine a light on where we see God working. And that's gratitude. And that's healthy and good. And that is what our good God asks us to do and is glorifying to him. God, we see what we're doing. So grateful. Flashlight on. And then what I want you to do is when you come to something on the wall that you have not, when your answer is no or not yet, I want you to click it off and say, Lord, I do not see what you're doing here, yet we still trust you. I still trust you're working on my behalf. I trust you. But I trust you, and I trust you're working on my behalf. And even when I cannot see, and it's when it's dark and dim, it says in the book, and eventually gets it, we will trust in him. And I think it's that was the message for me that was important, declaring in the dark. And since then, we have had straight line winds, tornadoes, COVID. We have had situations come and go, a really hard time in Nashville recently, just so hard and devastating, where we have been called as kingdom people to declare in the dark. And for me, this book is one that God just gave me. It's like, if this is working for us, God, you're giving me this book. Like, I can't believe I get to write this. I can't believe I get to tell this story. I can't believe I can believe you gave me this story. Please, Lord, equip me to share it well. You know, like that was my prayer. Like, can we share this book well? And you really have to go from a place of like, there's a difference between unworthiness and humility, right? And so you have to kind of sit there, I think, when you're writing about God, because the most important book we're going to read is right here, like right here. And so anything else is like to push eyes toward him, to give a human lens on like what God is saying as best as possible by the power of the Holy Spirit on his timing and by his grace and mercy. So I was like, Lord, just let me do this well. And if kids can train to declare in the dark and also have the positivity to see, to have eyes out for good things, like I'm seeing you work in this area. I'm not seeing you here yet. I'm going to declare you're good. You have a good plan. And so I think that for me, the book was as important for me to read and write for my own heart as for the kids. And I think that's why it's resonated, where it's a method. It's not just a story. It's actually a method of talking to God about big things and small things, about seeing the things that are working out and the things that are not, and having gratitude and also declaration in those periods where it's really hard to declare. It's like, but it is glorifying to declare in the dark. And so that's what that's what we do.
I love that you said practice, because I'm thinking, man, a difference that will make in families and kids that they start this at a young age, because that tension doesn't go away. I mean, I remember praying with Larson about her reflux, and she was so sick when she was little, and literally praying with her with boldness and then leaving and crying and going, what if he never takes this?
I know.
And I was asking God, like, would you just do it so she has faith in you? And will she have faith in you? Just what you're saying. If you don't, and I'm pleased to say years later, she's doing great. And it's not been a lifetime thing. But I did think if she has to suffer with her tummy hurting for the rest of her life, what will that do to her faith? So I love that you're teaching families and giving us, and we always as parents want a script, but you're giving us words around a super complicated and hard part of being a believer for kids that are so little. And I know that parents are reading it going, I needed that. It's in a kid's book format, but I needed that.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think is amazing is that you do not have to paint the wall. So Tim is probably like, Elizabeth, nobody wants to paint that wall. So tell them what you did in the front, the back. So we don't
We can
paint a wall.
Yeah, we can paint a wall. I grew up drawing on walls. And so painting walls, like, no big deal. We're just going to draw on the wall. I'm a very creative dad. It's where I get it from. I'll give him all the credit. My mom wears the very practical hat in our family. So you can, in the front of the book, on the front and the back, I'm so grateful to our publisher. Just, they were amazing, amazing, amazing to be able to put chalk wall paper at the front of the book and in the back of the book. So kids can actually write their prayers right there and declare in the dark every time they're reading the book. And I've seen pictures of kids' prayers that people have sent, and I've posted some online. And if you are listening to this and your kids have done the same with Flashlight Night, it's awesome to see. Listen, this is the history and real, just your track marks in prayer and God's provision and how he's going to build perseverance in the hearts of your kids, because you see them honestly ask for things. I mean, I remember COVID, it was so sweet. There was one little boy who said it was COVID to end and my science project. And I was like, that's it. Yes. Like being able to ask God for the big, huge thing, which no one had control over at the time, you know, or someone being sick, that seems so overwhelming and so big to ask that you don't want to. So there's the one end of prayer where you're like, I don't want to bother God with something so big. And what if that big thing might not come true? And then it's like, does God see my science test?
Yes.
Does he see my science project? Does he see that I'm struggling to tie my shoes? Does he see that I keep getting mad when I don't want to? He sees it all and wants to hear it all. He knows it all. He loves hearing it. Like, kids, so moms, we love to know what you want. We love to know what you need. It makes our hearts feel good and purposed. And we in our limited ways, moms, we try to like give back where we can to our children, where it is good for them. We have a heavenly Father that he knows precisely what we all need. He sees it all and hears it all, but he loves to hear it from us. Like a good dad, you know, like so a good parent. So when I was little, I would save my prayers for emergencies. So I would want to talk to God about all these things, but I'm like, oh, I better save it. You know, it's like, what were they? Chuck E. Cheese tickets? Like, would I not? Was I going to run out? So
new red glasses. Did you have some cool red glasses?
Can I have a huge red glasses? I needed the lens that, like, there is nothing too big or too small for God. He wants us to present all of our requests to him, the Bible says. And so we do. And it's not, he's not a vending machine. We trust that he has a purpose and a plan for us to prosper and not harm us. And that's on his plan, his definition of time, his definition of good. And so it's hard to train that later on. It's a lot harder to train, like skiing. It's really hard to learn skiing later. I've tried. It has not gone well.
Yeah, Ron almost divorced me when we tried that. He's like, this is the worst thing you've ever made me do. Then I carry him down the mountain on my back. It's fine.
Oh, I mean, and you know, with Ron, like, you all went through a season where you need to declare in the dark without knowing where things were going to go. You've had to practice this. So I'm thankful, just so you know, as your friend, we have a flashlight on for that situation. And I loved hearing your testimony and Ron's testimony and how you like spurred him on to get out there and share it. That was awesome. Yes.
He was like so timid and didn't want to do it. And then afterwards, he's like, this is a video we did on Instagram about my husband's cancer story. And then afterwards, he's like a total influencer. He's like, how many have watched? What are people saying? I'm like, you're such.
You know what you should show him? You know what he would like? The numerics. He would see like view insights. He would love it. And he would be like, next time we do this, we're going to even.
Yeah.
That's
he's
how you
a little
get him.
Diva.
You
got to
speak his language. Get in the insights and get the metadata on that.
He's like the best kept secret. I said, will you please come on the podcast? We'll get like 4 million views because it's you. Because he's such a ghost on the internet. So when he shows up, people are like, Ron's out there?
Imagine a home where reading, creating, and learning happen naturally. The all-new resource from Classical Conversations, Scribblers at Home, Recipes from Lifelong Learners, is designed to help parents of children ages 4 to 8 cultivate these habits into simple daily rhythms inside the home. Through step-by-step activities, Scribblers at Home will be your guide to teach your child the basic skills of learning while having fun along the way. To learn more, go to scribblersathome.com/mess.
But let's switch gears. I know something else that God has been stirring in you over the years is contenting. And I think so many moms listening to this can relate of just contentment and less comparison. And so will you tell us, you love to make up words. You're so creative. So contenting is new to the dictionary, thanks to Elizabeth Hasselbeck. But tell us what that means and how he's teaching you, what you're working on through that, and how we can learn more.
Yeah, contenting is a word. It's really this project that we've been working on. I'm actually fleshing out right now. I'm actually looking at when I write a book, I take a canvas and trace a bunch of chapter rectangles on it and then post it like crazy of like, where, what's this book going to look like? What's the flow? And it's been sweet to be able to ride this wave right now of this word that God really has given me in contenting. And it's, first of all, contentment is an instruction from God. It's a loving instruction from God. Through Paul, we get to see, be content in all circumstances, right? And so I took that word and I was like, all right, let's think about the word contenting. If it's like a present progressive, like we are going to continue contenting. How I really think about contenting is camping out in the good of God's purpose for you and the good of his promises. So I started to really explore, and it's funny, I thought, is it really possible to have contentment in all situations? That's where it began. And then the more I learn about the word tent and covering and stretching, we are going to really get into some real purpose behind stretching. So I looked up the word, the Latin word for tent. So I like to be outside and adventures. And I know for a fact, if anyone's gone camping, when you see the logo for contenting, it has tent right over tent in the word, just because, you know, that. But it's really camp, how you camp affects how you hike. Okay. So what you're deciding to put, I knew this in Survivor, when we parked our tent on wetlands before a flood, there went everything. So you want to make sure what you're camping your mind and your heart on is solid and good and true and for you from God. So camping out on his word and his promises, which are true, allow us to hike through stretching times. And actually the Latin word for tent is tendere, which means to stretch and having that tension between two points. And the root word for tension is ektenos. And that, I love this word. It's like my new favorite word under contenting. It's earnestly, fervently, constantly, properly, fully stretched, extended out to full potential. So when you think about, and I remember on Survivor having a slingshot, and what I was trying to sling was only going as far as I was willing to stretch. Okay. So there's a direct relation between stretching and launching. And I believe that these times of stretching, we have been stretched. Like if you didn't think you'd been stretched before 2020, hello, we have all been stretched. The difference between that ektenos, that contenting kind of stretch is A, what you're camping out in. If you're camping your mind and your heart on in the promises of God that he does not waste pain nor suffering, that he will produce an endurance and steadfastness through the persevering through trials, that when you are stretched, there is purpose for your stretching in order to launch you into a new place so that you can be reached out to someone else and that you can reach the potential that he has for you. So we're going to explore like really adventurous outside vibe of where God has stretched, not only me in like weird circumstances, like, I don't know, maybe skating lessons with Christy Yamaguchi or camping out in the middle of Survivor with snakes, but where that stretching has taken place in people's lives and how we can camp our minds and our hearts on his word in various circumstances of trial so that we know we're camping out on the good because he has good coming for us. Like this stretch is not purposeless. It is so that we are launched into what's next. So really contenting is being in that present of the stretch, knowing that it has purpose for the launch. And so we're excited to just kind of have this project of like mindset, heart set. Like, how are you today? No, I'm contenting. I'm being stretched, but it's with purpose. I'm being stretched because I know I'm about to launch. And it's for good because he has good for us. And so I'm thankful that God has absolutely just asked me to dive into this. And it's a question that I really need to sit in myself. Anytime you're writing, it's like, he's like, knock, knock. This is actually for you, ma'am.
I love it.
Elizabeth,
what's the timeline? Do you have a timeline for when it's coming out?
I don't. I feel like sweet Amy McConnell, amazing writer. She and I sat yesterday and I'm almost treating this like, I'm like, let's just pretend we're songwriters. We're going to have a songwriter session. You know,
you're in Nashville. I mean, come on.
When in Nashville. It's when God has the right time for it. I've learned before not to get ahead of his timing. It doesn't go well for me. So I know that if God has a place for this, if it's continuing to be in talks, we did a great talk in the response. I'm going to send you a sticker. Do you have a contenting sticker? You need a contenting sticker.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And somewhere in this office, you would love to see my messy office. You'd feel good about it.
I would feel better about myself, actually, because I feel like you're organized and I am not type A. And if you're not type A, for all the non-type A-ers out there, it's okay to not be type A. And I want to be. I feel like I'm a failing type A at all times. Like, oh, why can't I just be type A? Type A's get everything done better. And
no,
but I've had to accept that I'm not.
You're incredible. All right, let me ask you this. I'm going to think through this as I speak, so bear with me. I'm thinking, if we know getting in God's word and we know water are so good for us, like two examples, and we should do it every day, why don't we do the thing? So it's like, why, if we know going away from discontentment, comparing and just only looking at negative and seeing where God's not showing up or seeing where your friend's succeeding, why do we get trapped into that when we know just standing on his truth and resting and, as you say, camping out in that contentment is the best thing for our lives? Why do we do this?
Well, listen, there's the simple answer is, and this is not simply walked out. So I want to really be honest here. Like, because I truly am like Tim will be like, so where's your contenting like in this situation? You know, because it is, you will be challenged in this. This is not a one and done. It's not like, it's almost the difference between like, I am saved by the blood of Christ. Like my sins died and rose again. I'm new with him. But yet every day it's like we are being sanctified and made new. Mm. Contenting is that process of continuing to abide and camp your mind and heart out in his promises, because every single day it's a battlefield for your mind. Yeah. Every single day, pathway to the heart is the mind. Okay. Like absolute pathway. And we know right now, specifically for young women, we are in a tsunami of sadness, panic, anxiety. Okay. It just is. There's an absolute attack on the minds and hearts of our youth. There's an absolute attack on the minds and heart of moms to almost discount the fact that God has anointed this time. He has absolutely prepared it ahead for us. He knows our children, specifically asks us to shepherd them, gives us by the power of the Holy Spirit the energy and not all the answers, but the confidence and assurance that we are their parents and he will give us specifically what they need through us. Like it's an absolute war on the assurance that we have a God who goes before us right now. And so our minds, what does the enemy love? He loves distraction. He loves us to be like, well, they have that. Well, they have a boat. Well, they're going here. Well, I'm not this. Well, I'm not home. Well, I'm not working. You know, like it's like we all need, all the moms need each other. So I think really the battle is for the minefield. It's in Romans and it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And when you look at, when I read scripture, I'm like, okay, so why? What is this? And go right before it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship, okay? So if we are doing what we are called to do in the moment we're called to do it, and we're not looking left and right, is what he's saying. Like, that is a living sacrifice, right? And so if we're not conforming to the pattern of the world, which is, how many emails a day do you get that's like, you need this? Like, if I get one more email that's like, jeans you need, dress everyone's wearing, you must have it. I'm like, no, I don't. I have to say to myself, I don't need that.
You're like, this is clickbait, but all of a sudden it's in my cart. I need that dress. I know. It's terrible.
Right. So I do think we need to daily camp our minds and heart on what is true. Start early in the day if you can, even if it's a word. I think everyone's like, I don't have an hour in the morning to get in the word. Read something. You know, get your mind ready for the battlefield because it's about to be attacked. So in Jesus' name, we need to completely put on the armor of God so that we can be camping out well to hike through our day because we don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
We just don't know, but we know that we have an enemy who's coming for our minds and our hearts. So that will absolutely want to have us in a state of distraction and discontentment.
That's right. Yeah.
So I just think it's possible every day to be contenting, but it is a process. It is something that I'm going to decide that that's how I'm going to be living. I'm contenting. I'm being stretched.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I was thinking this morning, you don't have the same microphone as you did at Fox and The View, but you have a different microphone now, the one in your neighborhood, the one online on social media, and you are constantly pointing people and cheering people on to good things. Like I made a list just right off the top of my head. I'm like, team RWB, Danita's, the orphans with Danita's, widows. You're constantly cheering on widows who are never alone, and people like me. And so thank you for using the little time that you have to just champion other women and other causes that are important to your heart.
Courtney, I just love you. I love what you're doing. And I think this is a great place for people to just share what's going on right now. What's stretching you right now? What are you contenting in right now? And I've been more blessed by any of those areas that, listen, when I love you, I'm going to cheer you on. And when I make something, like if I'm like, oh, I just found a new way to make a brownie. Like, I can't wait to give it to somebody. Like, you know, because whether they like it or not, I don't know. Whether they eat it or not, I don't know. But this is really, I think you're the same way. Like, I don't really hold anything too tightly. Mm-hmm. I just want to share. And so, but I love learning. And so I think the best way to be learning is to like, okay, learn this. What do you think? And then you really are able to take in what someone else is learning too. So I'm really excited to continue to listen to this podcast. The guests that you have coming on, I'm really championing all that you're walking into right now. And so I'll just pray that God just continues to go before you, and that this is an awesome, awesome space for those who have something that God's given them to share it. And that's fun. I think sharing is so fun. And I'm always learning, so I'm willing to learn more and more here. Thank you for cheering me on, friend.
Love it. All right, I'm going to let you have the last word. Will you give us a contenting challenge as we head into summer? So it's the beginning of June. Some people feel very, like, it's daunting. We've got little kids. We've got teenagers. It just can be exhausting. But how can we content in our summer? Like you said, if you don't have a boat, if you don't have the vacation, or if you don't have kids that get along right now, how can we set our minds to be present in the summer?
I would just really set the word of God somewhere visual. Even your scripture cards are a great way to do it. Like, get scripture up and out and personal. Write it on a wall. Give it your family. Make it your family, you know, anthem that summer. Fill the space in the ordinary ways that with extraordinary words. Mm. And those are the words of God. So I would say in the house, have the music on. Surprise your kids. Like, do something fun. Like, I think for me, sometimes I have a kid in my heart, right? So like, I like to play. Play with them as a mom, if you can and are able, to the extent that you can. Obviously, we all have physical limitations at time, but play something. We have a game called Blank Slate right now that's super fun. And I'm not like working with the company or anything. It just came to mind, freestyle. But it's a fun game, and to see like what the other person is thinking. So if it doesn't have to be something physical, it can be something around the table. Surprise them. Back during exams, I decided to line our whole car and tape Smarties and Nerds to the roof of the car. Like, do something weird. But this is my thing. Like, the summer is fun of so many in-between moments that are awesome. And we can lose those by trying to plan something big. I certainly can. Like, what trip? I spent all day. Like, what trip? I'm like, what if we just have fun today? What if I challenge my kid to dodgeball or water balloons? Like, totally freak them out and surprise them with something random and fun. You're very good at this naturally. And I think we're oftentimes thinking big when they would love an hour of pelting mom with water balloons. Yeah. Like, that is something as simple and fun and will lock a memory as much as some big trip or a big purchase that will put your family in a stress zone. So just locate the old school fun. When they come home, hide with the hose and drench them. Like, I don't know. Something like that. Just have patience during the process, and then like you'll see the fruit is going to be there, because that's what God does.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media over at Pardon the Mess or christianparenting_org. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.